Let's read together John chapter 8. John chapter 8. It's a relatively lengthy passage, but we're going to take the time tonight to read the entire chapter. The text that we consider tonight for confession of faith is verses 31 and 32. The Word of God at John 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself, and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto Him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come, and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto Him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as He taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. Then Jesus again said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will He kill Himself? Because He saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And He said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We read the inspired scriptures that far. As I said before we read this chapter, it's verse 31 and verse 32 that make up our text this evening. Let's read those together again. John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the occasion of a confession of faith gives us opportunity to look back with thanksgiving and to look forward with confidence. Certainly, a confession of faith is an opportunity for us to look back. As a pastor, as office bearers, as parents, grandparents, friends and family, and as members of this congregation, we look back with thankfulness in our hearts. Because God was faithful. God was faithful through different means to lead this young man here tonight to this point in his life in which publicly he confesses his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God was faithful through the means of godly parents who strove to the best of their ability to raise this young man in such a way that he knows the Lord Jesus Christ and that he loves Him. God was faithful through the means of a church, really churches, in which He heard the gospel proclaimed from week to week, and in which He was instructed in the catechism room so that the confession that was made tonight was not simply a confession, but a knowledgeable confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of this wicked, perverse world, God was faithful so that on this evening, a young man stands before the church and the world and says, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am determined to live a godly life until the day that I die. Certainly, at the occasion of confession of faith, we look back with great thanks in our hearts to God, as well as with praise to God. But at the same time, a confession of faith is an opportunity for us to look forward. And that's what we do tonight especially. Really, the questions that Elliot answered tonight focused on what he promises to do as he goes forward in his life. He promises to hold to these doctrines that he claims to know and to love. He promises to go forth living a godly life, a confession of faith, just as much as it is an opportunity to look back, it's an opportunity to look forward as well. Tonight, by his confession of faith, Elliot said something. What he said was, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not the only one that says that tonight. All of us, as members of this church and as members of a church, say that. Many of us here, probably most of us here tonight, have made a confession of faith in the past. Some of us, it may have been only a couple of years ago. Others of us, it may have been many, many years ago and everywhere in between. And by doing that, and by remaining a member of a Church of Jesus Christ, what we are saying is, I am a disciple of Jesus. The word in particular to Elliot tonight, the word more generally to all of us tonight, is this. Go forth as a disciple. And this is how. Continue in the word of Jesus. You say that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. As He said tonight, I am a disciple of Jesus. Now show it. Prove it. And this is how. Continue in the Word of Jesus. And when you do that, you will receive a glorious blessing as it is set forth in verse 31 of the text. The glorious blessing of knowing the truth. Which truth will make you free? That's the word that we consider tonight at the occasion of confession of faith. A true disciple continuing in the word of Jesus. 2 points tonight, the meaning and the blessing. A true disciple continuing in the word of Jesus, the meaning and the blessing. In John chapter 8, we find Jesus doing what He did so often during His earthly ministry, namely teaching the truths of the gospel. In this particular context of John 8, we find Jesus in Jerusalem and more specifically at the temple. We read that in verse 2, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. Among those in Jesus' audience that day, therefore, were not only the Jews, but it's not surprising that the Pharisees and the scribes were there as well. That's verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees, it says. The beginning of John 8 records for us that very well-known incident in the life of Jesus. That incident with the woman taken in adultery. The Pharisees brought to Jesus this woman who was caught in the very act, and they brought her to Jesus in order that He might condemn her and accuse her. We know that history well of Jesus with that woman taken in adultery. Right after that, beginning in verse 12, we have recorded for us a relatively long discourse that we read this evening in which Jesus is going back and forth with the Pharisees. The Pharisees in John 8 are challenging the claims that Jesus is making concerning Himself. In John 8, Jesus says things concerning who He is. He says in verse 12 that, "I am the light of this world." He says throughout that God is His Father, and therefore He is the very Son of God, come down from above. He says that one day He will be lifted up on a cross. As is always the case, when the Word of Jesus goes forth faithfully, it never returns void. There's always an effect of the Word of Jesus going forth faithfully, even still today. Not just when He was on this earth speaking that Word to a certain audience, but still today in the preaching of the Gospel, it always has an effect. It never returns void. The Word is always, either on the one hand, a savor of life unto life, or on the other hand, a savor of death unto death. And that's the case in this instance as well. There were some that were hardened in their unbelief. They heard this Word of Jesus, and they refused to believe. Undoubtedly, that was the case. And we can say undoubtedly because after the text, we read very specifically that there were still Jews that did not believe what Jesus said. So much so were they hardened in their unbelief that we read at the very end of the chapter that they took up stones and tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. So it had that effect, hardening those in their unbelief. But it had positive fruit as well. There were those in that audience of Jesus that day who heard His Word and believed. We read that in verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. And to those that believed on Him, Jesus speaks the words of the text that we consider tonight. There were those that said, "I believe these words, I'm a follower of You." And so Jesus says to them, "This is what will show me that you are truly a follower of Me. Continue in My Word." The language of the text is that of a disciple. And so we should say some things this evening about what a disciple is. A disciple, very simply, is a follower of another man and his teachings. A disciple is not unique to the Lord Jesus Christ. Any person can be a disciple, really, of anyone. We know, for example, in the Bible that John the Baptist had many disciples. Even we read that the Pharisees had disciples. A disciple, very simply, is a follower. But yet, in the New Testament, most often when we read about disciples, we read about that in connection with Jesus Christ. And even then, we have to make a distinction between those 12 special disciples who were special because it was their full-time calling to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn His teachings so that one day they would be equipped to go out and teach others these teachings of Jesus. So there was that special class of disciples, those 12 disciples. But that's obviously not what Jesus is referring to in this text. When He uses the word disciple, He's using it more generally to refer to any person that follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer, every Christian must say this: I am a disciple of Jesus. We often don't think that way and think of ourselves in that terms, but we should. Each one should say concerning ourselves, I am a disciple of Jesus. His teachings are my teachings. I follow Him. In this text, really Jesus is drawing a contrast between a true disciple of Jesus and a false disciple of Jesus. At the very least, that is implied in these verses. It's implied especially from the last word in verse 31. Jesus says, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. That word indeed could better be translated truly. If you continue in my word, then truly you are my disciple. You are a true disciple. And the clear implication is that it is possible then to be a false disciple. To say, I am a disciple of Jesus, but really, in your heart, you are not a true disciple of Jesus. And really, just verse 31 taken generally seems to leave that implication. He uses an if-then statement. And the implication is that there are those that claim to be disciples, but this is the sign that it's true, that you continue in my word. We can never know the heart of a man. We can never peer into one's soul and say concerning a man or a woman, he or she is a true disciple of Jesus. The reality is that there are false disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who are in the church and who for a time go on as hypocrites. They say one thing, but in reality, they are another thing. But yet, although we can't know the heart of a man, is it not the case that one's true colors will eventually come out? The hypocrite will eventually be seen in a man or a woman. I say that so that we don't think that when a loved one dies, for example, at the very end of their life, we look at that person who made a godly confession all of their life long, who backed that up with a godly walk and a daily fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ and casting themselves upon that cross. And then at the very end of their life, because of the reality that there are some false disciples, we say concerning that person, can we really know? Was it genuine? We don't say that at the end of a person's life. We rest in the hope and the confidence that their confession and their walk was genuine. And that's really the point of Jesus in this text. A false disciple is exactly one who does not do what Jesus says positively in this text. Eventually it comes out because a false disciple does not continue in His word. That's the word that goes to Elliot tonight and to all of us. We say we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're followers of Him. And now this is what we must do. We must continue in His word. We can break that down into two main parts. First, we have to see what it means to be in the Word of Jesus. And then after that, we can see what is really the main point of Jesus in this text, the calling to continue in that Word. But a true disciple of Jesus is in the Word of Jesus. That's what he says in this text. If you continue in my Word. The Word of which Jesus is talking about in this text, in its most narrow sense, is exactly what he is setting forth in John chapter 8. In verse 30, we read, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." And then in the very next verse, we read, "If ye continue in my word." In its most narrowest sense, a disciple takes this particular word of Jesus and says, "I believe that. That's my word that I hold to as truth." In John chapter 8, what Jesus is doing especially is making a claim about who he is. A lot of John chapter 8 has to do with the identity of Jesus. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews, and he is saying, "This is who I am." Verse 12 says, "I am the light of the world." And then all throughout, he talks about God his Father and how he is the Son sent down from the Father. And then he talks about what he will do. He will be lifted up on a cross. He's the one in verse 12 that says he will bring light and life to his people. In its most narrowest sense, a disciple of Jesus takes this word as his own. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Lord and King. That's the word that we must continue in the most narrow sense. But we can broaden that out and say that really, this word of Jesus is the entire Scripture. Because after all, what does the entire Word of God proclaim? Everything points to this truth that I just said. Everything points to the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, Savior, and King. Tonight, when Elliot made confession of faith, he said just this. He said that this word of Jesus is his own, and that he believes it, and that he follows it. In both that narrow and broad sense. The broad sense came through very clearly in the questions that were asked. Very specifically, do you believe the doctrines contained in the Old and New Testament? He answered yes to those. But in the narrow sense as well, doesn't come through so clearly in those three questions, but up in the consistory room about a month ago, that very question was asked to Elliot. What do you believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? And while he did not use the exact language of John chapter 8, nevertheless, in the gist, he said exactly this. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior. And Jesus is my Savior. What Jesus is saying in this text is exactly what Elliot did tonight when he said, I believe the doctrines contained in the Old and New Testament, and I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The same words that all of us take upon our lips as members of this church. That's the Word, but the text says that we must be in that Word. And I believe that means very simply that it must just be a part of us. In every respect, that Word is who we are. You jump in the water, in a pool, and you're totally surrounded by the water, you can't get away from it. The same idea of being in the Word. It's so much of who we are. It's the very fabric of our being. So that this Word of Jesus, that particular confession, and more generally the entire Scriptures, is that which determines everything we do. It governs our lives. What we do, how we think, and what we believe. A true disciple of Jesus takes that Word of Jesus and says, it's mine. I believe it. I follow it. But the main point of the text is that a disciple not only says that, but then continues in that Word. That was something that came up over and over again in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You see that, for example, in Judas. Judas said he was a disciple of Christ, but very clearly at the end of his life, he made it evident that he did not continue in the Word that he claimed as his own. Take, for example, a well-known parable. Parable of the sower and the four different kinds of seed. The sower cast that seed on four different kinds of soil, and a couple of them at the beginning sprouted. There was some life. But what do we know? We know that eventually that died. They were overtaken by the thorns and the stones and all of the rest. For a time, it seemed as though there was life there. But in the end, it was snuffed out and it died. This is something that Jesus talked about. There are some that for a time say, I am a disciple of Jesus. But then in the long run, they abandon that confession and are not true disciples of Christ. That leads us to see that this is very difficult. Very, very difficult to say, I am a disciple of Jesus, but then to continue in that Word that we claim as our own. Everything in our lives really drives us to take the easy way out and abandon this confession. We have our own sinful flesh that does not by nature say, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and I strive in everything I do to follow this Word. We have this wicked world in which we live that militates against this confession. The devil has a very long agenda on the Lord's Day. Probably the day in which he works harder than any other day. And on the devil's agenda today was this. Make sure that a squadron of his fallen angels is present at Trinity Protestant Reformed Church tonight to witness this confession. So that when they see this confession, they can begin to formulate a plan specific to Eliot. So that down the road, Eliot will abandon this confession and say, the Lord Jesus Christ is not my Lord and Savior. It's not easy to continue in the Word of Jesus. It's only something that we can do by the grace and the strength of God. To continue in that Word means very simply that we remain faithful to this confession that we make and remain faithful to the desire to back it up with a godly life. To continue in the Word of Jesus means that every single day I wake up in the morning and I say something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single day I say concerning Jesus, He is the Son of God, my Savior, in my Lord. And every single morning, I wake up and I say, I want to govern this day according to God's Word, Jesus' Word, and live my life according to it, no matter what. Because that's the difficulty. One who continues in the Word says, it doesn't matter what I face, in good times, in bad times, when I'm in the university classroom and I get a sideways look from my professor or the fellow students, when I'm sick, when I'm on my deathbed, when I see loved ones who are sick and I wonder why, when the money isn't there, when the times are tough, it doesn't matter what I go through, but I say this, I am a disciple of Jesus and I will live my life according to His Word. That's what it means to continue in His Word, no matter what, to make that confession and to strive to do that every single day. And when we fall short, as we do every single day, to flee to that cross and cast ourselves upon that cross where alone we find forgiveness. There are all sorts of things that we can do to help us maintain this confession and to remain a faithful disciple of Jesus. One thing tonight that we call our attention to, a strong, faithful, daily, personal, devotional life. This is something that we always need to be reminded of. And I say this just as much to myself tonight. It's so easy to push that by the wayside and not personally to read the Scriptures and to pray to God. Beloved, we must not have the mentality that because we conduct family devotions, for example, around the dinner table, that that's sufficient for my life personally. That that's good enough to be in the Word of God and to pray to God. Each one of us needs to have a personal devotional life. Think about it. If this is a true disciple of Jesus Christ, one who every single day makes that confession and follows after Him, what better way personally to maintain that than every single day going to His Word? We need to do it personally so that we can take that Word and apply it to our lives. So that we can pray to God personally and ask for forgiveness for those personal sins, those besetting sins against which we fight every single day. So that we can make very personal prayers for our family, for our spouses, for our children. So that we can ask for help in our own circumstance of life that we find ourselves in. I say again, this is something so easily pushed by the wayside. Everything takes up our time. We need to be diligent in carving out time every single day and making that time most precious for us personally so that for 10, 15, 30 minutes a day, we go to God in prayer, we meditate upon His Word. To do just this, continue in the Word of Jesus. Always room for improvement. And there are ways to help us with this. Find a Bible reading plan. There's all kinds of them out there that you can print off and put right in your Bible so that when you read, you check off what you read for the day so that in a year or two or three, you make your way through the entire Word of God personally. There's all kinds of them on the internet. Talk to me if you want to find one. So nice to have that in your Bible so that it keeps you diligent. It forces you to look at it every single day and see what you have read and the progress that you are making. Talk about this with one another. Hold each other accountable in your family life, husbands, wives. Did you have that time with God personally? Ask your husband or your wife, your children. Parents, are you talking about this with your children? Teenagers. Making sure that personally they're reading the Word of God and praying. Encourage one another. Tell your spouse, I prayed for you today. Specifically, I prayed this for you. For example, to your wife that she might have a good day in raising her children and being a mother in the home. And just by saying that to your spouse, it'll bring our attention to the fact that a private prayer was made for the family. And cause us to think, am I doing that? Beloved, of all sorts of ways to help us do just this, so that in this way we remain strong personally and spiritually, and do as the text says, every single day continuing in the Word of Jesus. And when we do that, there's a glorious blessing, as the text makes clear in verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It speaks of the truth. The truth is really simply another way to speak of the Word that we explained earlier. But we can go straight to the heart of it right now and say, ultimately, that truth is Jesus Christ Himself. John 1, speaking of the Word that was made flesh, Christ, says that He is full of grace and truth. Can't think of the text right now, but Jesus said elsewhere during His earthly ministry, I am the way, the truth, the life. Ultimately, the truth itself is Jesus Christ. The text says that we know the truth. Knowledge in Scripture is always more than simply intellectual head knowledge. All of the Western world knows Jesus. You go to practically any person and say, do you know who Jesus is? And they will say yes. But that's not what the text is talking about. Knowing the truth is knowing the truth in a deep, intimate way. The Bible often speaks of a husband knowing his wife. That's not simply a reference to the physical act of a sexual relationship, but that's a reference to the deep, intimate, deep-seated love that a husband has for a wife. And that's the idea in this text. Then you will know the truth. You will love the truth. The truth who ultimately is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When you continue in the Word, then you know that truth. There's a connection between this first point and this second point. And the connection is very simply this. The sign that you know the truth, that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, is exactly this, that you continue in His Word. People of God, we say that we are disciples of Jesus. We say that we will continue in His Word. And when you do that, that's the indication that you know the truth, that you have the truth, and that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the effect of that, as the text makes clear, is that you shall be made free. Freedom is the opposite of bondage. Freedom, bondage, is the language of slavery. Apart from Jesus Christ by nature, we are slaves. We are in bondage, and in particular, in bondage to sin. So that all that we can do, apart from God and Christ, is walk in the ways of sin. You know the truth. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a disciple of Christ. And you shall be set free. Read the history of our country, the early history of the United States. You hear a lot about slavery. You read a lot about the great liberators. The ones that worked hard to free the slaves. People of God, there is one great liberator who liberates us from the one thing that in the end really matters. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what He liberates us from is sin. You shall know the truth. The truth who ultimately is Christ. And that truth who is Christ shall set you free. And it all took place at Calvary. Because at Calvary, all of our sins, all of our guilt was nailed to that cross so that no longer are we slaves to sin. No longer are we held in bondage to sin. But we enjoy the freedom, the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes you think of that version of Amazing Grace. Can't think of how it goes exactly. Here it is. The Version of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I did first believe. And then the chorus, all the choir students from Covenant know this so well. One of the main songs you sing every year. The chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The chains are gone. I've been set free. Beloved, that's the gospel to us tonight. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We show that by continuing in His Word. And that means that we know the truth, that we have Jesus Christ, and He sets us free. What does the freedom look like? What's the blessing that we enjoy? The freedom is this. The freedom of being able to go forth, not held under the power of sin. The freedom to live a godly, antithetical life, to do what Eliot said he would do tonight. The freedom to know that guilt, that death that I deserve is gone, wiped away, nailed to the cross of Christ. The freedom of knowing that one day I will be with Jesus. People of God, go forth as faithful disciples of Jesus. Continue in His Word every single day and enjoy the blessing of being set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father and God in heaven, we're thankful for this gospel. We pray that it might have been heard by those with ready hearts, eager and willing to take it with us and go forth in this week. Bless especially the young man that made confession of faith this evening. Go with Elliot so that he continues to go forth as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive, O God, what was said or what was heard in sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.